there is something to be said for clarity. For instance,
yes, the Gemara talks about that. It's obviously a sugya psachim.
Your metaphor is, yeah, referring to intercourse. So is when someone lives with someone.
Yes.
And there are times in Shir when that can become very unclear. It's exactly whether we're talking under the chuppah or the physical act itself.
Again, well, not for now, but it's pashtus. Anything that leads to a discussion that talks about things that shouldn't be discussed is minimal bad. That's all. Okay, we are on Chafei. I'm an Aleph, and we just finished the discussion about the story of Rava, Kanya the Rava. Now the Gemara talks about, we're still talking about, the Gemara said, had a question, but the guy made a neder or a shua that he didn't see Kaila Mitzrayim. If he didn't see Kaila Mitzrayim, this bread should be usher, right? Maybe he had an anthill, and he named it Kaila Mitzrayim, and therefore he swore correctly. So the Gemara answered that when a person swears, he swears an arrant interpretation of words, meaning words, interpretations that made the dictionary, acceptable interpretations, not his own made-up interpretations. So now the Gemara is going to question that. We questioned that when we learned last the story of Rava. I mean, the story of when Ben tells him that you're swearing God Altenu, why was that necessary? And now we're going to ask a different question. We are up to, hard to identify, about 20 lines in, Vakati Le'ovet. I have no other way of identifying it here, because everybody has a different print Gemara, so I can't say it's across from. No, across from. What?
A1, right side, last paragraph.
Okay, A1, right side, last paragraph.
25 A1.
Oh, 25A1, okay. Pekti Gemara. Vakati le'ovid the mishtaba daita the navshe. People don't swear with their own interpretation. Meaning, you're saying that it's self-understood that any shvua is by what we understand in the word. And that the bezin have to say adalteinu v'adas bezin, but only because of the story of Rava when it was really money, but the guy covered it up by putting it in the staff. So vakati le'ovid the mishtaba daita the navshe. Vatanya we learned. We find similarism. When he made Kar Yisrael swear, Atam Nitzavim Hayoim Kuchem, La'avrucha Bebris Hashem, right? Through the Bris. Hashem Alkechu Barasad. Amalem, Mesh Rabbeinu told him, Have Yoidim Shalay Al Daitchem Ani Mesh Biyatchem. It's not on what you say the words mean. Ela Daiti Valdas Amokum. The words mean what I think they mean and what the Rebbe Shlom thinks they mean. Shenemar, v'lo yitchem levatchem enoichi, ki im, senenu poi, v'shayi poi, right? And then it says, how does that prove that it's the interpretation of the words? I think because the pasuk continues, right, like itchem levatchem means not the way you think. That's how we're interpreting it. Right? But what everybody thinks, what I think the words mean. So why did he have to say that? My Amrlu Maishal Yisrael. What was Maisha telling them? Lav, Hachikamrlu. This is what he was telling them. Duma, perhaps, Bach puts in, Avarta Mili, you'll be over things, Vamartam Al Dateinu. And you'll say that you meant what you understood in the word when you swore. You didn't mean that you will follow the Torah completely. You made a different interpretation in the words of the Shua. Shemachi Amalu, Aldaiti. That's why he said Aldaiti. Now, what different interpretation can it be when you say you're swearing to the Rabbi Shlomo? Right? How can people interpret the words differently? The answer is, my love, Bafuki Dasi Kushmar Levelis Chav Malai. That they named an Avodah Zarah God, and when they're swearing to God, they don't mean the Rabbi Nishlaivim, they mean the Avodah Zarah. So he's saying, no, the words mean what I mean, not what you say they mean. Mashma, that without warning them, you would get away with your own interpretation of words, even though that's not the interpretation of the word. People swear using their own interpretation of words. No, lie. It is an interpretation in Webster's that the word Eloah can mean Avodah Zarah. Because we see the pasuk Simcholahei Mishmat Mitzrayim. The pasuk refers to Avodah Zarah as Lehei Mitzrayim. What people worship is called Lehei, even though it is a nothing, garbage, less than garbage, but it's an interpretation that's in the Torah. So therefore, the guy says that's what he meant with that word. He's not using a interpretation that he made up. He's using a valid, unfortunately wrong, but valid interpretation of the word. That's why Vaish had to warn them, don't play around with me. I don't mean you're using a different interpretation that's valid. I'm using my interpretation, and that's what you have to swear using. Dr. Rush. No Rush. Is there Rush? No, yes, there is on the other page. Yes.
This person, if you would have... He's doing it for
a Vazara,
it's not a Shvua, right?
Right, exactly. That's why he can be Ivar and Tyra. Vajra is warning them, don't play around with the Shvua and then you can be Ivar and say, I never swore.
He's saying this just relative to this one situation?
Again, if you read the parshas that some of them.
Again.
Can you wait a minute? Can you let me talk? Then Yez Bechem, Isha Yisha. I mishpacha yishevet. Asher levavoi payna hayoyim im Hashem alakeinu. Lelechas laban is lahey agoyim ahim. Peyesh b'chem. Shairus peyre reish v'lam. He's trying to eliminate people, families, shvatim, that might swear in the wrong way. He's saying, you got to swear with my interpretation. Read the psukim. With my understanding of the words that you're swearing. That when I say you swear to Hashem, it means Hashem, not your Avodah Zarah. I'm trying to figure out what the word was.
You swear this is an elective, this is the elective swear?
Yeah. But Rabbeinu, I don't know why we can't learn. Well, I know you're up to middle of gracious, but there is a part of the southern.
I'm not there at all. I hopefully before I'm 80, I'll be able to get there.
Fine. In the southern it says that Mesh Rabbeinu gathered everybody to make them swear. Is the word fealty? F-E-A-L-T-Y, to swear their fealty to the Rabbi Yisrael. And he told them, you have to swear. In the back of his mind, he was afraid they would swear and it would mean nothing to them. So he eliminated that. I mean, it's Parshas Netzavim. It's Chumash. Not even, it's not the Ramban, it's not the Chaskuni, it's the Chumash.
That's a question a little bit.
Yes.
In this week's parasha, it says...
Oh, no. It's not a chumash here.
But it's talking about... Avram said, please, my master, Adonai. I don't know if he was talking about Hashem. That's Machlokas. Or he was talking to the Malachim.
Yes.
Those two words, or the one word, can be misunderstood. I misunderstood it for years. I say it's Machlokas.
Therefore?
That's also saying Hashem in the name of the show, because we don't understand what we're saying.
Again. There's two meanings. There's two valid meanings. You're right. Has two valid meanings. Because Elohai is not being translated as somebody who is Elohai. It's being translated as someone who served as Israel in the second translation. But it's a valid meaning. You're bothered by the fact that the Rabbi Nishlam lets words of his name be used for other things. Exactly. That's when it's called over here.
It bothers me.
Okay, I can't help you. That's what the Torah does.
Doesn't bother me.
That's what the Torah does. That's when it says, Adonai Elohim. Two words there. Adonai, his master, Elohim, Ben. Both words that we use in the reference to the Rabbi Yisrael.
Very nice. Excellent.
This
network.
And this is actually one of the aspects of Shemaiah. It does not have a meaning.
Correct.
The way we pronounce it.
Correct. Right. And for the Gemara, so therefore, he had to rule that out because it has another valid interpretation. Now, when I say valid, I mean valid in the sense that it's in the Westerns. Not that it's correct, but it's in the Westerns. So to Gemara Vayter. But Lishma Yasa, now the Gemara says, the Gemara's going to ask a whole bunch of questions. The Gemara's question is, if that's what he's worried about, let him use different words of Shua that don't have other interpretations. Instead of telling them, you have to be my interpretation, because it's another valid one, there is words he could have used that have no other valid interpretation. Right? By not using them, he's obviously afraid that they'll make up their own interpretation. That's why he has to say, my interpretation. What could he have used? V'lishbiyasan, why does he make them swear? The mekaimusin, we go with agdirsa, mitzvahs. That you'll keep mitzvahs. Mitzvahs have one interpretation. So, the Gemara, mashma mitzvahs ha-melech. It's not true. There are two interpretations of the word mitzvahs. Commands from Hashem and commands from a king. It's also called commands. Let's catch up with the Rush. Where is it? Not on your interpretation. The Gemara's have a meaning is that's off the charts. That's not part of an interpretation. Right. So the Gemara mitzvahs. So don't say mitzvahs, which can mean commands. All mitzvahs. All mitzvahs is not referring to commands of a king. All mitzvahs is referring to commands of Hashem. So the Gemara mashma mitzvah sittis. Mitzvah sittis can be all mitzvahs. The Amar school of mitzvah sittis can go mitzvah shibataira. Sittis counts like all the mitzvahs. Therefore, when you swear to keep all mitzvahs, you might just mean sittis. You'll wear sittis, but you don't have to keep anything else. Sucked. We'll see if I do. But I think about religion, we ask them to come out in Tyra. You'll keep Tyra. Tyra has one meaning. There are two Tyras. If you swear Tyra, it might just mean one. Religion, we ask them to make him in Tyrais. Mashma Tyras, Mincha, Tyras, Chatas, Tyras, Fonim. The word Tyras is validly used when you're talking about halachas of one specific thing. So therefore, he couldn't use the word Tyras, because that might mean mekabonis. But Lizbe Yasin the mekamis and tyrais u mitzvais. So to Gemara, tyrais mashma, tyrais mencha, mitzvah mashma, mitzvah samelch. In fact, you say both, doesn't change that each one has another valid interpretation. But Lizbe Yasin the mekamis and tyra kula. Let them make and swear that they keep tyra kula. So to Gemara, tyra kula mashma, avedit kachab, might just mean not serving avedit zara. The Tanya Chamura Avedetz Kechavim. Avedetz Kechavim is strict. Shukala Kaifer Ba, Kilu Vayda B'Tayra Kula. If you deny it, it's like keeping the, it's like agreeing to the Tayra. If you keep it, if you serve it, it's like denying the Tayra. So that's Tayra Kula. The Lishba Yasun, the Mechamisan Avedetz Kechavim, the Tayra Kula. So let him say, swear not to serve Avedetz Zara and to keep Tayra. Or Inam Yishesh Meis Shlesh Yashra Mitzvahs. Keep Tayag Mitzvahs. And for the Gemara, you're right. There were other options. He picked an easy thing. It's much easier to say my interpretation than to start saying what he should swear about. My interpretation, what Hashem means, and we move on. It's easier. Instead of thinking of other options that he could have had, he could have had other options. This is the easiest option. Dr. Rush. Mashma chala, taira aitair shibiksav, aitair shibapet. Mashma mitzvah samelach, so madua ato aivres mitzvah samelach. Shkula mitzvah kenega kala mitzvah. Shinema reisa maisa ischartim is kol mitzvah sashem. Now how does tzitzis help us remember all the mitzvahs? Tzitzis, ushmai nechutim, chamish ksharim, erlim tayag. Tzitzis is bigamatria 600, with two yuds, and add the eight threads and the five ksharim, you have tayag. Through that, you remember all the mitzvahs.
This is what we mean when Christ called Israel using their interpretation. You know what that means?
I thought it meant more than that. Maybe, but I think it means more than that. We're doing something that is without resource from Hashem and the call, wouldn't be allowed to do. That's to be mispalim avayonim, to bring Rishoyim in and include them in our tzibur. So we're saying, Adas HaMokim, Adas HaKo, we have the authority, we have a bezin there, standing there. Anu Matirim L'Svalom HaVayonim. Meaning it's accepted by the Rabbanu Shlalom and by the Ko, that we can allow HaVayonim to join us in our tefillah.
Im HaVayonim or Al HaVayonim?
Im HaVayonim, that's what it says. They can be here.
Oh.
Maybe we can include them and not worry about the fact that there is some here. They might ruin the effect of the minyan.
If I'm not mistaken, everyone has that girsa. Is that true?
I don't know. My mother said that. My rayon.
Parentheses or something in the... brackets or something?
Can't answer you. My master doesn't have it. That's all I can say. My master says Imavayanam. I don't know. If your master says Alavayanam, it says differently. I don't know.
Well, no,
it's
right. It's
not
at all.
What?
The people do
Averis. It means Rishad. No, it means Rishad. Avayanam are referring here. People do a lot of Averis. Not just. Everybody does some Averis. Unfortunately, everybody does some Averis.
What are they doing in Shul?
Oh, you'd be surprised. You don't have people come to Minyan and Kippur that don't necessarily. I love that. I mean, this is good. This is an Avram. You and Avram come to get together. Anybody that comes to Swing and Kippur is about Tshuva, but then they drive home. You know, it's a little bit hard.
They go to that bagel shop.
Then they eat their breakfast.
At Kippur,
they go to bring their breakfast meal.
No.
I have a prior cousin that like stabbed me years ago. He showed me a picture of his family that they took at the breakfast on Yom Kippur. I didn't say, what am I supposed to react? What? No, I think they do it at noon. They fast till noon. Then they have a meal called the breakfast.
Why are we talking about this? I mean,
we are talking about
how careful we need to be about talking about a riot. And we've got a group of people who do have the dots, if they're Jewish enough, that they come to Shul on Yom Kippur, which, believe me, is not that common in the Midwest.
So you're agreeing to him that they're not Avayon? So we don't have to be mad for anybody. That's what you're saying.
I didn't say that. I want to know all that.
I really do not understand this conversation.
Okay, right. Dr. Rush, we finished the rush? No. Chamura, but it's come to you. My problem is my print has the rush on two sides of the page. I have to keep up. In the Isvahadar, everything's in the right spot. Chamura, but it's come to you. I have to keep up. Now the Gemara interprets Kairos Beis Chabad as size. A snake as big as a beam of an olive press. Huge. I have no idea if it says it's big. Maybe it means it's girth. Dr. Gemara, but why? Aren't there snakes that are that big? There was this snake, the Abibishnei Shvar Malka, in the days of the king of Persia. The king of Persia was called Shvar Malka. Ramulek, see, it's interesting. So I always thought Shvar Malka was the generic name of the king of Persia. Like Avimelech pushed him, like Pari of Mitzrayim, like President of the United States, like Prime Minister of England. That's what I always thought. But here you see there was a person called Shvar Malka. In the days of Shvar Malka, they wouldn't say in the days of Pari, because there's 25 Pari, right? So this Gemara is Mashma, that Shvar Malka is not the generic name of the king of Persia, but rather the specific king of Persia that lived in Rava's time. Or in Shmuel's time, because both are called Shvar Malka. That's why I always thought it was generic. But here it says in the days of Shvar Malka, Rami lay placer urbis of the Tivna. They gave him 13 of, I don't know what he translates urbisa, wagon loads?
Stablefuls
of straw. Ubalayasan. Now to swallow 13 stablefuls of straw, it needs a big snake. And obviously, he was as big or wide as a Kairos Beis Chabad. So why are we saying that that's an exaggeration? They exist. Yes, doctor.
I was just
going to
say it is, unless you show me a reason or something, it's not necessarily a big person. It could have been a particular dynasty.
Could be.
And then the succeeding dynasty is a different title.
Could be. Except the Havi Bishnei Shvar Malka. Okay, maybe. I thought it was more specific.
I have no idea.
Right. Amr Shmuel, so Shmuel said, Mitaruf. Taruf means square. That the snake is square instead of round. Like a beam of Beis Chabad is square. He said he saw a square snake. fact, the Gemara, Kula Nechishim Butur Tarfi, all snakes are square on their stomach. Their stomach is square. So they are square. Zakta Gemara Gabay Tarf Kamina. Their back is round. And he said he saw a square back. Fact, the Gemara will listen to Tarf. So why don't we say the word Tarf? Right? Why are we saying the word Kekairas Beis Abad? The Gemara, the Mishnah is teaching me a Chiddush. The Kairos Beis Abad, Gabay Tarf. If you want to sell somebody a Kairos Beis Abad, it has to be square. If it's not square, it doesn't meet the necessary requirements for a Kairos Beis Abad. My name is Kamina, the Mechuchum Amkur, Lai Malach, Hamarach a Kairos Beis Abad, the Chaveroi. If somebody sells a Kairos Beis Abad, his friend, he got the Tarif in. If it has a square back, then it's a good Kairos Beis Abad. Eloi Eloi, if not, he didn't sell him the right thing. Now, I interpreted the word Tarif the way the Rush does. The Ron interprets the word Tarif as having ridges.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Archibald can pick his Scott.
No, I'm just saying.
But I was learning, we learn Rush. So I interpret it like the Rush. Archibald, with all due with rights he has, decided to pick the Ron's shot, which is fine. I just wanted to say why I didn't interpret it like Archibald. Yes.
I think the reason I'm playing mind reading here, I think the reason why Rabbi's Meisel dancers chose ridge is that the bottom of the snake is not square. It is ridged with plates which are transverse.
So the very rod that learned to mean ridged brings a Yerushalmi that says it means square. Again,
And the other thing is the beam of an olive press can have ridges in which you catch something like your belt buckle, and that holds it down and maintains pressure.
Again, the way the Ron explains it is, it has, because it's pressed, it does more pressing. Okay, so it's
a gabo tarf, that means
a beam. Gabo tarf means we're going in the snake. Oh, by the Beis Abad,
yeah.
That the beam is square, meaning that the top of the beam is square, not round. Dr. Raj, Arvis at the top, Nikamai, Arvis Susim, stables of horses. Batarav, Rachav, Ve'inagul. Kulu nechashim bitur tirfi. Kulu nechashim trufim ninu bebitnam enam agulim. Their stomach is not square. Now, I interpret it means the bottom. Maybe it doesn't mean the bottom. Maybe it means a certain section of the bottom. But something is square. And the answer is, it means the other part, which isn't square. That's what he meant. According to the Rashi's shot, which the Ram brings. The Ram had a different shot, but he brings the Yerushalmi, says that. Zakti Gemara Vayser. Zakti Mishnah Vayser. Okay, so we did two out of the four. We did Nidre Susan, we did Nidre Havai. Now we move on to the third one, Nidre Shlagas. Okay? Now, Nidre Shlagas can manifest itself in one of two ways. We're going to have two cases, and both cases are going to be Nidre Shlagas, but they're different. So I'm going to learn the Mishnah, and as I explain the Mishnah, I will explain one and then the other. Nidresh Gargas in Machal Tivim Shasisi, the Niska Shalcho Vishasa. A guy tells his friend, I didn't eat at the wedding. The guy says, yes, you did. He says, no, I didn't. If I ate at the wedding, I should be ushering that piece of bread. The truth is, he ate, he forgot. When he said those words, he had no intention of ushering himself. He forgot that he had eaten. Forgot. The wedding happened 2 years ago. He was sure he didn't eat, but he did eat. His faulty memory. That's called a Nidre Shlagas. The netter is a mistake. He doesn't have to go to bed. It was an error. He assumed that he thought that he hadn't eaten. He made the netter based on his faulty memory, so it's not a netter. Because a person has to be conscious that he's making a netter, not conscious. That's what it's called. I hate to use the word unconscious, but he's not consciously making an eder. In his mind, he's not making an eder, because he's sure he ate. That's one. The next one is, Beniska Shalcha Vashas, Shani Oichu Shani Shaisa. If I eat or drink at that wedding, I am going to answer myself in this bread in the future. And he forgot that he made the neder, and he ate at the wedding. So now the neder kicks in. But he was, again, at the point that the neder kicks in, he did not think he was making a neder. He forgot that this had been a condition. Anything that's based on forgetting is not a neder, because his heart wasn't in it. He wasn't meaning to make a neder. And therefore, one of the requirements of a neder is the guy meant what he said. He meant that, and then he forgot it. So at the time that it kicks in, there was no consciousness to make the neder. Let's do the rush.
Yeah, Rabbi, but those are two very different things.
Right, there are two different things, and that's why I said there are two kinds of nidrei shlagos. I'd like to do the rush first. Zakta rush, nidrei shlagos. Kaimer machalti v'shusisi. Ban something if I ate or drank, but this kishach hoshasa. U'b'shata neder, ha'yosavar b'vadai shliyach v'leishasa. When he made that neder, he wasn't making a neder. And he was not making a neder because he was convinced that he hadn't eaten or drunk. He forgot. L'hoyim b'laita linder klal. Second one, totally different. The b'shasha neder yesh loyloko. When the neder kicks in, the haynu b'shasha ocho b'shasha, us shachach as a neder. He forgot it at the point that the neder starts. The afina mishuos, the beina shia adam b'shasha shua chalalov. You have to be a man at the time that the shua is chal, meaning a man thinks, knows what he's doing. He has to remember the Shua. If he doesn't remember that this has anything to do with the Shua, it doesn't kick in. It's called a Nidrei Shlagos. Yes, Harvey, you have a question?
Yeah, the nether did kick in. Just because he forgot it doesn't mean it didn't kick in. He forgot it. It was active.
Your question is based on a supposition. The Torah is saying a neder does not kick in if the person is not aware at the time that it kicks in that he kicked in a neder.
It's saying it sounds like that if he's not aware that he's breaking it.
Correct. Or by the
it's there.
Case, no, by the second case, it's not there yet. He said, if I eat or drink, this bread will become usher. I mean, the neder will kick in when I eat or drink. So when he eats or drinks, that's when the neder is kicking in. He has to know that a neder is kicking in. He forgot.
I'm doing something that's not smart. I'm arguing with the suppositions of the Gemara. Okay.
Exactly. Right. Yes, doctor.
Did you see any of the commentators comment on the fact that the judge transgressed the injunction from Moshe Ben Elishon? That it's not what you think you meant. It's what I think you meant. When he said this, even though it was said forgetting, unless we're talking about organic forgetfulness, his intent, as clearly understood by anyone who heard him, was to usher himself. So initially we say 20 minutes ago that your intent doesn't matter, it's how it's understood. Now we're saying how it's understood doesn't matter, it's the intent.
Let me step back. Let me try to point out, I'm just trying to make sure I explain it clearly. The guy says, this bread should be offered me if I eat at the chatzana. And then he eats broccoli, and he hates broccoli. So he says, I'm not usher. That's not eating. Now, that man was well aware that if he eats at the chasana, the neder kicks in. He decided that broccoli is not, I'm sorry, I use broccoli. Once upon a time, this was a good muscle. When I was a kid, nobody liked broccoli. Now, I'm an outsider. I don't like broccoli, so I use broccoli. Me and George Bush. But, I don't consider broccoli eating. To me, broccoli is not eating. So I decided to interpret that I didn't eat at the chasana. I was very well aware that if I eat at that chasana, my neder kicks in. I decided that I didn't eat. You did eat. You can't say you didn't eat. Yes, I did. I don't consider broccoli food. That's called reinterpreting a word. This guy said it when he eats at the chasa that the bread will become usher. He forgot that he ever said that. He had no intention of interpreting a word differently. He was saying, I forgot that I said it. I know I said it, but when I ate, I had no idea that it was kicking the netter. I had totally forgotten that 2 months ago, I told somebody that I asked myself in the bread if I eat at that chasa.
I understand what you're saying. The that's why I said organic memory. But
what is deciding what eating means?
No, you're very clear.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to be.
You were very well said. It's also still problematic in my mind.
This is problematic. I will agree that it's problematic because all the fact that the Dara we've been talking about the power of speech, and all of a sudden we added in the word pivotally by shoving.
And even more so, if you look at the nature of speech, you go from something which is semantic into something which is bounded and spoken, into something which is heard, which is now unbounded and semantic, and breaking the order in which we have been doing things for the last 25 dollars.
Okay, I'm just pointing that out again.
Very well, I understand exactly the point you're making.
Okay.
But it's still problematic.
So I think about my turn. Now, another case. Now, the next case is an easier thing to understand. Nobody will have a problem with that. I'm a kind of misty nanasli shagumbas kisi shakes beneath. I ban my wife from having pleasure because she stole my wallet, she took my credit card, or she hit my son. But it never happened. So obviously it's not a netter. This is an easy one. It's a mistake. He said it, but he made a condition, and the condition wasn't met. Now here comes a new case, which will be the thrust of the sugya of the Gemara. The next case, which will be the thrust, I'm trying to see if there's any rush left. Yeah, shagamvas kisi, haynu nidrishkogas. Shikimah shenayda lo shlagamva kisa, she didn't take his credit card. Then tishlayanayda. Then that is a mistake. Now here comes the next case, which will be, again, the major discussion coming up. That is as follows.
Because it's a mistake,
but
it just didn't happen.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the easy one. I said that's the easiest one. Next. Ra'asim achlam tainim. He saw people eating figs under his tree. They were eating figs. He got very upset. He didn't think they had any permission to eat figs. And he was upset at them. The Yaman, he said, Harei, what is the Bachad? Hein aleichem karban. Those figs that belong to me are banned from you. It's like a karban. He's not donating it to Hegdish. He's saying this should be ushered like a carpet to you, which is fully in his rights. He can ban his figs from people. And he finds out that amongst the 10 people was dad, his brother, and strangers. Now, nobody, the assumption is, means to ban dad or his brothers from eating his figs. He didn't recognize them. He didn't see them. Had he seen them, he never would have included them in the netter. He would have asked everybody else, but he wouldn't include them. That is called a nidre shkagas. Beshamai says the parents are not, his father is not included in the netter. He was never meant to be in the netter. It was a mistake, a mistaken identification. That's not a netter. But everybody else is a netter. And Basil says, once it doesn't count for dad, that means it was a wrong netter, the whole netter falls apart. That is called netter shehuta mitzasai, huta kuloi. Your netter is partially not effective, so the whole netter is not effective. You make one netter. It didn't work because the father was a mistake. So no net, so the whole thing doesn't work. Now, this does not need to go to Bezin. And the question becomes, why is that different? Why is that different than a case why is that different than a case at any Pesach? Had I known, I wouldn't have made the netter. So anything that I didn't know should be a make a netter toss. I shouldn't have to go to Bezin. Here, I don't have to go to Bezin. My father is excluded, even according to Beit Shammai. It was a mistake. It's an Idrish Gargas. What is a Pesach? I didn't realize that this was there. Had I known, I would have never made the Neder. It's a mistake. Zuck Duran. This is how Duran explains it. One is a mistake in the words that he said. He would have never said everybody. One is, I meant every word I said. I never met my father. It wasn't that I met my father and had I known. No, I never meant him. He was never included. He would never be included in my letter. The other one is, I made a letter. I was missing a fact. Here, I made a letter about the others, but it's not like I was missing a fact that my father was there. It's not shayach to such a letter. Would have never been included. It is a mistake in the very essence of the netter. Therefore, he's excluded. Now, the question is, once he's excluded, what happens to everybody else? That's a side issue. The main issue is that he is excluded because he's never included in the netter. Not had I known he was there, I would have done it. No, something I would have never done. It's like removed. That's called a bigger mistake. That's a nidrish gargus. Let's just do the rush. Elu ve'elu matarim. The neder shehud the mitzasei hut the kulay. The einu ratzel lachol nidrei el kshen shenader eisai. The person wants his neder to work or not work. The kibush the mitzasei hayshaygig nisbatul kulay. Yes.
Is there any problem going to guttle the students having them say you don't work because this is a very, very fine board? I understand what you're saying, but it seems like I'm surprised they didn't say just go anyway.
I can't answer that question except that the Mishnah calls it Nidrish Gargus, which means you don't have to go.
But it's not like there's a kanaan for going.
No, you want to go, you can go.
You could have made a
debtor.
Including his father, right?
Nobody bans their father.
Nobody
does it. It's like removed from reality. See, 2024 it might not be removed from reality, but in those days, you just didn't do that to your father. You know the story with Rabbi Yankov. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky was on a plane, and Menachem Begin, those who remember him, his secretary was on the same flight, and Rabbi Yankov's grandchildren were taking care of him. So the person says to Rabbi Yankov, "Wow, your grandchildren give you so much respect. I wish my grandchildren would give me such respect." So Rabbi Yankov answered, "It's very simple." He said, "You believe man came from monkey. So your grandchild is two more generations removed from monkey. So you should respect him. He's more human and less monkey. I believe that we came from Rabbi Nishloilam, that Rabbi Nishloilam created man. And I'm two generations closer to Har Sinai than my grandchild is. So he respects me because I'm closer to Har Sinai. That's the difference between us." That's what he told him.
Rabbi,
yes.
Yeah. Why does Beis Hillel, I guess, not say that, or actually it would be Beis Shammai, not say that he would never have banned the friends of his father? Once it was realized that the father was part of a group, then wouldn't you know that the people with the father, you never would have banned out of respect for your father.
Interesting point. I never thought of that. But the Gemara doesn't seem to take that into account at all. Obviously, they're not assuming that that's true. Again, I hear your point. Why isn't that included in respect for your father?
They're sitting under a fig tree together.
I'm not arguing with you. I just never thought of that point. The Gemara doesn't seem to take it, so I assume that the Gemara feels that you would do it. Again, I hear your point. I don't have a real definitive answer.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Okay.
His father's friends?
Well, they're sitting together, so Harvey's assuming that they know each other. Right. I could have answered, they're talking about they didn't know each other, but I don't want to get into that because I have no idea. The Mishnah doesn't say. It's derived from a pasuk. It's interesting that the Rush gives the logic to it, but it's really a Xeris HaKasav. Now, the particulars are discussed in the Gemara. I said this is going to be the thrust of the Gemara. Zakti Gemara writes, it's not Hatsa. Tana. Same Shindidre Shlavros Mutaris, Kach Shua Shlavros Mutarim. Yeshua by mistake is also Mutar. Just like a Neder by mistake. Heichi Dami Shua Shlavros. Now the Gemara gives you a different kind of case of Shua Shlavros. Shua Shlavros is the same as a Neder Shaking. He swore not to eat the bread if, and he made it, he forgot. Same thing. But the Gemara adds a new point. A new kind of Shua Shlavros. God, Rav Kahana Ravasi. Rav Kahana Ravasi, both were students of Rav. Hadeina Mashwatsa Dahakyam Rav. One said, I swear the Rav said it's Mutter. Hadeina Mashwatsa Dahakyam Rav. And the other one said, I swear the Rav said it's Mutter. Now, one of them is wrong. It's false. It's Shua Shagig. The Chol Rachad Vachad, I died to the Nafs of Shaprak and Mishtaba. When he swore, he thought for sure he's saying the truth. He did not want to make a shua sheker. He knew that he could get. A liar lies in his oath. He did not lie in his oath. He was convinced that that's what Rav said. Now, one of them is not true. Rav either said us or mutter. But they're both convinced that they're right. And when they made the shua, they didn't mean the shua sheker. They meant to make a shua with emes. That's called the shua shkagas. There is no rush on this Gemara. Now we go into something else. Something Gemara writer. Tanan Hasam. Paiskim b'shabbatas v'yamim taivim. This is a Mishnah later on in the ninth Perek. A guy swore that he's going to fast every day of the year. That's the Rush's example. Every day of the year he's going to fast. So somebody tells him, hello, you know, included in every day of the year are 50 Shabbases and a bunch of Yamim Taivim, and you're not supposed to fast on those days? You're not supposed to fast.
Not allowed to.
Not allowed to. Again, he made a neder that if he doesn't fast, this and this will be banned on him. So that's a Pesach. I didn't remember Shabbos and Yom Tov when I swore. I said every day of the year. But I didn't think about the fact, I don't know how the guy didn't think of it. I wait for Shabbos all week. But I didn't think that Shabbos was included. I forgot that Shabbos was involved. That's a Pesach. B'yoshaynai ha'imrim. The beginning they said, Aitzen ha'yam ha'mutarim, Shabbos ha'yam ha'surim. The neder works for the rest of the year. He removes the Shabbos and the Yom Tov because he didn't think of that. But the rest of the year he has to fast. Atzibar Rebbe Kiva v'limeid, neder shultim k'tasa u'tekulay. Rebbe Kiva came and taught us, once the neder is not real, it's not every day of the year. No part of the neder works. All or nothing. Zuck the rush. Nan hasam. Mishnehi l'kamam b'perik of lazer. Paiskim b'shabbatas yam taivim. Yanim nadu l'itani shana. He made a neder to fast the year. V'amru line, they told him, l'kam b'shabbatas yam taivim yesh b'shana. You know this. A lot of Shabbos is in Yom Tov. She'ein taivim l'itani shana. Not good to fast them. I didn't think about it. When the sky to the Shabbos is Yom Tov, I didn't remember them. Now, the question is, why is that different than the father? Why is that need heter? He didn't remember Shabbos and Yom Tov. Zok Darash. By the father was a mistake. Every person should know that every year has Shabbos and Yom Tov. The neder can work on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Dr. Rush, it's something that a person should have been aware of. He didn't remember it. He didn't think of it. It's not like we're sure he wouldn't make a neder about Shabbos and Yom Tov. Person could make a neder about Shabbos and Yom Tov. Nobody makes a neder about a father. It's often not in the thought process. There are people that after themselves on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right? So therefore, he has to say, I didn't think of it. We can't automatically assume that he didn't think of it because it's something that everybody thinks of. Makes sense that he did think of it. Father is off the charts.
Well, two things. First of all, is that Canadian
off the grid, I should say.
Number Usher, It's not the rosary?
No, it's first of all, neder is chal al mitzvah.
Something
the Torah says... He didn't say, like Shabbos, you know, like, he bans himself in a bread if he doesn't fast all year.
The next week is...
Oh, he eats tonight. That means he fasts today. Yeah, he eats tonight. And not he dies. Doesn't get too far.
Why do we get to Shabbos? Sorry. I
thought
I was interrupting.
No, yeah, you were interrupting.
Why do I...
Last time.
We are a good team.
I know. That's why I was surprised that you thought that you were interrupting you.
We're not a perfect team. But what I'm saying is this. Is that why do we let him... Take that Pesach, let him say, oh yeah, I forgot to shout. That's ridiculous. Go for that colony.
Again, we trust him to say that when he made it, he didn't think of Shabbos.
Every Pesach, we trust him to say?
Absolutely. That's what Pesach is based on. Honesty.
What? There's only a certain, you get to a certain point. Oh, I forgot their Shabbos.
He wouldn't include Shabbos, he wouldn't include his father.
It's a big difference. There are people that include Shabbos, and nobody includes their father. That's what they're saying.
See, yeah.
Again, it's because of our lack of respect to parents that we think the same thing is true about Shabbos and about parents.
That's hard to believe. It's a very good point he's making.
I'm glad you're agreeing with him.